Lauren Gold, the keyboardist for The Who, NorCal name because you're from Palo Alto.
I am, thanks, born and raised.
Thanks for having having you on my little NorCal Names podcast.
Thanks for having me.
How long did you live in Palo Alto before you moved on?
Before I moved on to Southern California.
Uh-huh.
25 years.
Wow,
about that.
So long time.
I hit down in my late 20s.
And he went to Gunn High School for the Bay Area people who are listening.
That's right.
Very, very cool.
We won't
cool.
say what year I graduated. Thank you very much.
Nor will I tell you where and I graduated. So.
You have to look that up online.
Exactly.
And you still won't find it.
You're right. What is that all about?
I don't know.
Why?
Just not there.
Because I went on Wikipedia trying to figure out.
And I'm not deleting anything. It's just not there.
Just not there.
It's
just
very
not
weird,
there.
Which is fine.
It just all works. So you started playing piano with a piano teacher the old-fashioned way.
Yes.
And when did things go from scales and I read Mozart and things more classically trained to Billy Joel and Elton John?
There you go. Well, I started actually in group lessons. I think I was 5.
What was your teacher's name?
I don't know.
Come on.
I know. I really want to know. I want to say Mrs. Waters, but
okay.
I can't
for sure
say that's uh-huh. correct. But I came across my little diploma, like cleaning up the house recently. I'm like,
that's so awesome.
And I started earlier than I thought. I'm like, I thought I started at 7. It's like, I looked at it, it's like, maybe, I think it was 6. Started at 6.
So for a lot, I took piano and was forced to, and the minute I broke my arm and was excused, never ever went back. When was it that young that it was just, oh my gosh, I have to do this?
No, it took a while. Uh-huh. So I just, my mom threw me into group lessons and I didn't complain. I just, that's what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like,
don't play piano.
Nursery school, whatever. I'm playing piano. And I didn't stand out. There's nothing special. And then it's probably not there anymore. It's right on El Camino in Palo Alto. There's Yamaha group lessons.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
Where I started. I know.
That's awesome.
I know.
So
I don't know when they left.
When did that? I read that you heard a Beatles album.
Yes.
And that was it?
Rubber Soul.
Rubber Soul,
yeah,
done.
Yeah, that really was it.
And that's really that aha moment you remember.
Yeah, it was just like, oh my God, these songs, a voice. And I would just stare at the back of the record and I was like, I want to be Paul McCartney.
Not much
like that. Everyone else did.
So how did you?
But
you did. You made a career out of it. So many young people want to rock and roll.
I know. You know, I just stuck with it. I just got the fever. I got the. There was nothing else I wanted to do.
Did you have supporting parents? Because a lot of times, you know, they'll say, "Well, that's lovely, but you really do have to make a life and a living for yourself, young man."
They were
Mr.
really
Lauren.
Supportive.
Yeah,
it was. I'm so lucky. There was no struggle with that.
And you have written in different interviews that it's awesome and not but it's a job. You have deadlines. It's a job. What you do.
What I do now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got it. You have to be professional. It is a job.
You have to show
you
up.
Just, it's like, hey, I got a great gig. I'm just going to do whatever I want.
Because I'm me.
Yeah, because I'm cool.
Your first professional gig was at a restaurant in Palo Alto. And please name it, because I want to know if I remember. You said it was
it's
a French
called
restaurant.
La Tour, I think.
Tour?
I believe
there anymore?
What it was. No, it's gone. It was like Cowper Street and University. It's like a bank building.
You played while people ate?
I played while people ate. I mean, I must have been 15, 16. And I just had, I think I knew 10 songs. And I just played them over and over again. And the bartender was like, and they just loved it. I'm like, inside, I'm like, God, I really need to learn some more songs.
But 15 or 16, that takes chops to go in and say, right?
No, I played well. I mean, thinking about it, it's like I was, you know, I knew, you know, the atmosphere and how to play. I didn't, you know, I just kind of tried to blend it and play background music. But I was playing, you know, pop stuff. I wasn't.
Like what?
I wasn't, oh, like, you know. Stuff I play now. I playing the Beatles, you know.
So
playing
cool.
Same cool stuff.
Some of the artists you have, we're fast-forwarding from your piano at the French restaurant, age 15 and 16. You, of course, play with The Who now. You've played, we're going to talk about all that, but let's just go through the list here. Kenny Loggins, Huey Lewis in the News, Eddie Vedder, Steve Winwood, Don Felder, Melissa Etheridge, Rita Wilson, Demi Lovato, Hilary Duff. It goes on and on. It says, and others, after 5 lines of artists. What has that been like?
5 lines of blow after that list.
Was it the 80s and the 90s? No, there's a lot here. Demi Lovato, Selena
Gomez.
Where'd
you get that list?
Wikipedia, dude. It's magical. I guess Wikipedia could be true or not, but are those right?
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played with Kenny and Don Felder and did Selena and Demi Lovato. I put their bands together. I was their music director.
And talk about that. Music director, what does that involve? Because you did Tiffany and Hilary Duff, and you did some music directing when Who played at the Super Bowl. You kind of...
I worked on that. Very good research there. Yes.
It was a long car ride over.
I got to dig here.
What does the music director do?
Yeah, well, I got thrown into that. So I got asked to play keyboards for Hilary Duff, and that turned into that was a huge, you know, few years.
And what's she like?
Oh, she's sweet. She was so young when we started. I mean, she was 15 and a half, 16.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I think she was 16, and we're doing a sweet 16 gig in Hawaii.
Nice.
And she was so sweet. And no complaints at all. She was just great. A lot of fun. But I did that, and then I became her music director. And then through that, they asked me to, Hollywood Records asked me to do a couple of the other artists. And the first one was Demi Lovato. And so basically I met her and got a feel of what she wanted. And then I assembled a bunch of musicians, held auditions, and, you know, narrowed it down, put a kick-ass band together. And
that's awesome.
They hit the road, and I was proud papa.
The rest
papa.
Is history, yeah. Proud papa. So... Do you believe that along with your amazing talent, that there's something about being in the right place in the right time? And I'm leading up to how in the world you got an interview with Roger, I'm sorry, an audition with Roger Daltrey.
Yeah.
What the heck?
I know. How did that happen, right?
Well, it panned out apparently, but how did that,
well,
that
it does,
to be?
Being in the right place at the right time. So, you know, living in LA, you know, I got to know... You get to know people. One of the guys, or became a good friend of mine, Will Hollis, who plays keyboards for the Eagles. You may have heard of them.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
Silent.
Silent.
Yeah.
So he called me up and he said, hey, you want to audition for Roger Daltrey? I was like, no.
Well, yeah, I know.
Of course. Sarcasm. That's my sarcasm.
Sorry.
That's not going to translate, is it?
He made a sarcastic face.
I'm like, of course, I'd love it. He's like, so.
So you practice every damn song of theirs for 2-3 weeks, and
pretty
what,
much.
And what does he throw you at you?
So yeah, we had a list of songs to prepare, and I just spent, you know, 2 weeks, 8 hours a day, just shredding to the point of, you know, it's like, okay, I've got this, but I'm gonna do it again. Oh. Just every subtle nuance. I'm listening for things that aren't even there at this point. Like, I know it so well, they like blindfold me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we went in, and then he just wanted to jam. So we didn't do any of that stuff.
And how long did the jam session go for?
Oh, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes.
And then what did he say?
Then we did some vocal exercises, and they wanted to see us sing and all that stuff. And I just shook his hand. I said, you know, nice to meet you, thinking I'll never see this man again.
and
then I got the call.
Oh my God.
I know.
Oh my God.
I know.
So what's he like?
He is so much fun. He doesn't, you know, doesn't take himself very seriously. I mean,
he's an icon. He jinx. Yeah, he's the real deal.
He's the real deal. He likes to laugh. He likes to meet his fans. He likes to go out and have a nice meal. And he's just, he loves it. And his voice is incredible. Still, I don't know if you've listened to any recent stuff.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Is it the 2019 Moving On Tour?
That's right.
A lot of artists who get a little older, who early on in the 60s and 70s screamed, for example, in Bob O'Reilly or whatever, take it down an octave. And I've heard Rod Stewart take things down a little bit because
absolutely.
It's just hard.
Yeah.
And these guys are
still doing it. They're, you know, what an inspiration, both of them.
That's awesome. And Pete Townsend,
Pete Townsend, I mean, he can turn it on like that, you know?
What are they like when they're noticed and recognized?
Oh, they're fine. Like in
out
outside
in the world.
Of this, oh, they're great.
Yeah.
I mean, Pete, they're really isolated, so there's not a lot of that. They're not really out in the public. They're not out going to museums and, you know, going for a run. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a bit chaotic when you're in the town and everyone knows you're there, and it's a lot of people, you know, want autographs and stuff like that.
And you try to be kind, but you also want to live your life.
They're really good about it.
That's awesome.
They appreciate it.
So I have 1,000 more questions, and then this guy's got a gig. Talk about the universal appeal of music. I read that you guys played in Abu Dhabi, where who speaks English and who doesn't, and it doesn't freaking matter, right?
And you've
experienced that all over the world, that you play this music and the crowds go wild.
They go crazy.
Explain.
In Europe, there's not only they go wild, but they're like young kids. They're out there. And
don't you love that?
I love it. They're standing, we'll be playing in pouring rain. They're, you know, smashed like sardines out there, shirts off, and just singing every word to Tommy. Knows all the words to Tommy? I don't know all the words to Tommy. It's crazy.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
It's power music.
There's a whole resurgence of younger people listening to what is now called classic rock, but it's amazing. Great music lives on.
Yeah, and I think Pete, as the writer, likes to see that. You know, he looks out in the crowd and he sees these young kids that are getting into it. It's like a whole other generation. Like, what a reward, right?
So let's talk about you and your piano playing. I looked at a couple of your videos, and you're like a maestro back there. To me, piano is the hardest instrument to get my head around because right hand is doing something completely different from left hand. I mean, completely. I think guitar, yes, I get it. There's different things going on, but totally different things with left and right. And I've seen your setup where there's French horn sounds.
Right.
Talk about your setup when you travel or when you play.
Well, it's different each tour, really. When I first started in The Who, we did quadrophenia.
Mm-hmm.
We had some brass instruments, but I was doing a lot of that stuff live. I know, that was incredible. But so it was a lot of programming, you know, trying to recapture all the stuff Pete did on the records. And so much of the work was done ahead of time back home.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, once you get all the sounds in order, then rehearsing and doing this with the left hand and doing this with the right hand. And
it's like head and tummy thing.
It's all that.
Wow.
So a lot of prep, but then once you get it, you got it.
Do you ever get, you know, he says it's so easy. Then once you got it, you got it.
Roger
Daltrey, you know, listens to you and you play with The Who. It's like anything, right?
Yeah, I guess. That's what they tell me.
Apparently. Do you ever get nervous? I think there's a good thing about being nervous. Is it just so much a part of you after all these years? Or what happens when you get on those stages and there's those thousands and thousands of people screaming in the pouring rain like sardines?
That I'm just so excited at those moments. It's also just I'm playing with bandmates, so I just feel like it's not really all on me. Like everyone's got to be on their game and everyone's prepared, but we're all in this together.
Yeah,
it's super exciting.
Do you do any kind of warm ups with there's vocal warm ups, but do you do anything with your fingers or your arms? Any sort of stretching or little
yoga fingers?
I get to ask
I
these
do a
questions
full hot
of the
Bikram yoga before I go out on stage.
Namaste, baby.
Yeah, namaste.
But do you do any kind of?
I have a
routine.
Any physical routine? You're doing this like shoulder shake.
Yeah. Well, some people, stretch it out. Do you have a ritual or anything you do before you go on stage?
I don't. I have a practice piano, so I play on this tour. Most of my time before the show is practicing for the Love Rain over me intro. So I just kind of try to come up with something different. And so I'll spend a couple hours at the piano before we go on.
Talk about
just kind of creating something.
You've got the orchestra behind you, and it's a different orchestra in every.
That's right. How crazy is that?
Is that hard to work with?
No, we have a great conductor, and he just has some ready to go by the time we show up. So he gets there at around 11 o'clock in the morning, runs through everything with them, and then we show up around 4 and then do half a dozen or so songs with them.
Mm-hmm.
But these musicians that we're playing with are top notch, so
very
exciting. It's not a problem.
I read what Roger was saying. This is the same Who from many years ago, except it doesn't have to be so damn loud. And that maybe, right?
Yeah.
And that maybe in one way it's even more enjoyable because you can really hear all the different levels and layers of music better than the assault that was back in the day.
The assault, yeah, exactly.
I still have my hearing, but I went to a bunch of those shows in the 70s and 80s.
I know. Yeah, Roger loves it. It was his idea to do the orchestra, so we did that with the Roger solo band. We did the Tommy album. That was just last year or the year before.
Mm-hmm. Was that just amazing?
Just loved the same thing, pickup orchestra in each town, and just went over well, and he loved that he could hear himself, and it was great. So he brought the idea to Pete, and He decided to go for it.
It's working.
And he doesn't like to do the same. Roger doesn't like to do the same show each tour. He doesn't want to go out and just play the hits. So he likes to mix it up.
Keeps it interesting for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Do you have a show over the years that stands out as just epic for one reason or another from all of the work that you've done?
Desert Trip was pretty cool. That was a big festival down in Southern California.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that one?
Mm.
Yeah, that was about a year ago. It was 2 weekends, and it was The Who, the Stones.
I think our daughter was there possibly.
Where is she, by the way?
She, by the way, is 25 and gives me so much crap. She says, "Mom, you've been working in with this music for 25 years. How come you didn't play this music when we were kids?" I said, "Well, you were listening to Backstreet Boys and NSYNC."
Exactly.
Because she gives me a lot of crap now. "Mom, this is amazing music. Why do we not know it better?" So. I really did try.
Yeah.
Do you ever get starstruck?
Oh yeah.
Tell me who.
I'll let you guess.
Elton John. Have you met him?
Of course, I have met Elton.
What was that like for you? Because that was one of your influences.
Absolutely, he's like a huge influence as a piano player and as a songwriter. Who doesn't love Elton John? So that was a big one. I met him backstage, and my friend. My good friend Eric McCormack from Will and Grace.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, now I'm a little starstruck. Go on.
He's a very good friend, and him and Elton are actually close.
I love it.
I know. It's crazy, right? Crazy Hollywood.
And what about Billy Joel was another...
Met him backstage. I met him backstage. You're asking me about big shows I've done. We did one at Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
It was called the 12-12-12 concert. That was the date.
I love
and
it
was for the sort of benefit show for the Hurricane Sandy.
Right, right.
So I saw Billy Joel backstage, and I said hello, and he's like, I love The Who. I can't wait to see your set. And I told him, you know, how much his songs meant to me and all that. So
were you able to meet?
There's a few people on my list like that.
What about the Beatles since the Rubber Soul?
I met Paul backstage at the same gig, and I've met Ringo quite a few times. As you know, Zach, his son, plays in our band.
Right, right.
So he comes to the shows typically in L.A.
And is it Peter Rogers' son who also plays with you guys?
It is Pete's brother.
Pete's brother.
Simon.
So very much in the family.
He's also my golf buddy.
Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about the golf.
When you're not playing, okay, how often do you practice?
Golf?
No, not. In a minute. Hold off on the golf. How often do you practice?
These are the important questions.
Let's get to the lightning round, the important stuff. Piano still, how often do you practice?
I practice every day, 5 days a week, 6 days. I always go over it for a little bit, a couple hours a day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, especially before a tour, and I'm even doing more. I still love it. Even if I don't have really anything special to do, it's just to play a little bit. I always try to work on something.
And you've got other stuff that you've done? You've written an instructional book?
I have 2 books, yeah, with Alfred Music, this great publishing company in LA. Yeah, I did a book on blues piano and rock piano.
Nice.
So
you, the stars aligned for you. We know some young musicians who actually got to open for the Rolling Stones last week, and they're 25 years old, and
oh my God.
They might just make it. What is your advice? I hope they make it. What is your advice to the young people, the young Lauren Gold who just can't breathe? You love music so much, and you need it to be part of your life. What do you say to them?
Oh man. Well, if first of all, that's a good start just to be that passionate and if you love it that much, but just be ready for every situation and be on your game, be prepared. You know, when you go into an audition, you have to be just overly prepared and be cool. And just, you know, if you're going in as a, if you're not doing your own project, if you want to play keyboards or guitar for another artist, a sideman gig, you know, just know it's not about you and it's about playing the part right and being professional and being kind and honest and then getting out of there. not overdoing it.
That's a really good advice.
I've put a lot of bands together for some of these artists, and you see all kinds of people, and some people are extremely nervous, and you just try to get them to relax, and then some people just overplay, and some people want to show off, and just like, you're an amazing musician, but you're not doing anything that's being asked for.
And listen, right?
And
listen.
You have to listen.
Wow.
Especially when you're playing, you got to listen to what everyone else is doing and know mm-hmm. your moment.
So. What do you still want to do?
What I still want to do?
What's on your bucket list? Whether it's musically
besides
related
get
or...
that handicap down in my golf game.
What's your
These are the important things.
So my husband and Lauren's cousin... Is that what we decided,
right.
Lisa is?
Who are you?
Because we, the grandma, we were doing the relations. His grandma and your grandpa. we have ascertained that Lauren is a golfer and my husband is a scratch golfer when he's on his game.
Wow.
And what is your handicap and how often do you play?
I don't play very often. So my handicap's sitting around 13.
But you have fun.
I have
matters.
Fun.
Have yeah. you golfed in awesome places have you, as
yes.
you've traveled the world?
Scotland, the Old Course.
Nice.
Twice, back to back.
Birthplace of the game.
Yeah.
So you golf. What do you? Well, do you?
I really love photography.
Talk about that.
Well, it's just a hobby. People seem to like my photos, and someday I'm gonna take all these shots and turn them into something, and maybe showcase them at some point.
Still lives, live wildlife, humans. What do you like to photograph?
Still life, not much wildlife, although uh-huh. I'd like to. I haven't uh-huh. had that. But, I see some beautiful places, and I just try to capture it, and I just see it, and I don't, to be honest, I don't really know what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
I'm just shooting, and I see something, I like it, and I can't tell you much about the basics of photography, but everyone's like, did you take this?
That's awesome.
So that's a compliment.
So the keyboards and the camera travel with you.
Yeah.
That's very, very cool. Yeah. Do you read for fun?
I do. I'm most of the stuff I'm reading now is like just health stuff. I'm all
That's
into
good.
Healthy eating or trying to be.
Like what kind of healthy eating?
Oh, I'm trying to eat more vegetables and less meat and mm-hmm. Exercise and,
that
getting,
kind of stuff.
Getting older, just trying to take care of myself. So I'm trying to learn more and more about what's good for my body.
Random question, but no, there's a lot of random questions.
Sure.
So your hands, we have a friend and he's a heart surgeon and his hands, if something goes sideways, he's out of a job.
Yes.
Do you take extra care of your hands? Are they insured? I mean, tell me, because they're
no,
everything.
No, I really should insure them.
Seriously.
Now that you mention that.
You
Lisa,
know,
you want to get on that?
Get on that. Put that
cousin?
On to cousin.
Cousin
she's
to cousin.
Running in the air.
Noted. Side note to
but
do this.
But do you take care and do you not do things that
There's
could
certain
injure?
Things I don't do.
Right.
It's also a great excuse to get out of, pretty much anything.
Moving furniture, yeah. for example.
Sorry, can't do that.
I can. Hands.
I would love to take you to the airport,
player.
But hands.
Keyboard player. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. What else have I got here? Anything?
Where are we?
Where are we? Anything else on the bucket list?
Anything else on the bucket
list? Or where do you want to travel that you haven't traveled to?
Ooh,
Because you sound like you've been everywhere.
I haven't. I've been to a lot of places, but there's a lot of places I haven't seen. I have not seen a lot of Eastern Europe.
Okay.
Believe it or not. Prague and, what else is there besides Prague? I don't know.
there's Prague.
Romania.
Exactly.
I'd like to go to New Zealand.
Okay. They like your music down there.
I've been to Australia. Been
Lisa,
to Hawaii.
Get on it. He wants to go
yeah.
to New Zealand.
Can you make it noted? Another thing on the to-do list.
Do you have a favorite Who song that you like to play?
I like Substitute a lot. It's not a big keyboard part, but I just love that song so much.
We heard Baba O'Reilly as we were coming into San Francisco, and that beginning part.
It's crazy.
That's all you, huh?
Well, usually,
yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, the piano part is.
Yeah, the first thing you hear. Yeah, you better insure those hands.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time. I'm so excited we get to hang out for a little jam session. And thanks for what you do. Thanks for the music, though. It was a soundtrack to my life and continues to be.
Yeah, mine too.
Good.
It really is.
And
thank you.
Go Bay Area.
Go Giants.
Go Giants. There we go.
Go Warriors.
Perfect way to end
it. Go 49ers.
Sharks.